Let us say amen again. Once again, giving all praises, honor, and glory to the great God of heaven, our Father who art in heaven that sits on the throne of eternal life. God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all the time. It is not because of our social status. It is not because of our financial well-being. It is truly not because of our intelligence why we are here, but we are here because of God's grace and his mercy. And if you don't know what that grace is, it is that favor that God has over you. Knowing that you did not deserve it, God still blessed you to open up your eyes this morning, to rise up out of your bed, to brush your teeth, wash your face, eat your food, get in your car and come here tonight. That's God's grace. Because if you knew what I knew, when I knew it and how I knew it, that our life is like a vapor ready to vanish away. So you're only here for a short while, amen? If you are here tonight, it is truly by God's grace. Not only his grace, but his mercy. God know what you did last night. He know who you dogged out last night. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to. But because of God's mercy, he still provided you an opportunity to serve him. Amen? So it is truly a blessing once again to stand before the people of God. The Bible still says, where there are two or three gathered in my name, that's where I am also. And it is truly a blessing just to be in the land of the living and to be among God's people and to proclamate the word of God to his people here at Hearts Street Church of Christ. I want to just say thank you once again to Brother Amazo Jones, your fine minister who has been just entertaining me since I've been here. And I'm just, you know, just definitely welcome for him inviting me so far from the great city of Detroit. I want to also just thank the wonderful elders that work alongside with him. You never want to leave out your elders, amen? Sometimes we overlook our elders, but our elders are our overseers. They are our pastors. They are our shepherds. They care for our souls. And so I want to just thank the elders of this wonderful congregation for working with Brother Jones and Brother Jones working with the elders to make this possible. And I also want to just thank the deacons as well. This is a powerful leadership here since I've been here for the last several days, amen? And it's just truly a blessing that you have given me the vote of confidence to come all the way from the great city of Detroit to proclamate God's word. I want to also just thank all of the sister congregations and the brotherhood our elders as well as ministers. It is truly a blessing to see one of our ministers from the Lincoln Park Church of Christ in Michigan. I had the opportunity to speak with him. I had the opportunity to speak to Brother Carney, who used to be one of the servants of the Linwood Church of Christ. And it's truly a blessing just to see history all the way down here in the Bible Belt. And it's truly a blessing that you're here to support this wonderful work. I want to remind each one of you, as I said yesterday, is that this is your revival. This is your gospel meeting. And one of the things that we want to be mindful of is what Jesus said, go into the whole world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we want to support this meeting. We want to do everything that we possibly can to bring souls to Christ. Amen? It is very imperative because once I leave here Saturday, the work of Heart Street must go on. Amen? And so we want to do everything that we possibly can to plant the word of God on good soil, on an honest heart. We don't need no rocky hearts. Amen? We don't need no wayward hearts or no throny hearts. We need some honest hearts because that's what God is looking for in his kingdom. And there's a lot of people that need Jesus, amen? We are living in a generation that is hurting right now. I don't know how it is down here in Nashville, but I know in Detroit we have a lot of people that's hurting. And I tell Linwood this all the time. We have over 8,000 people just in our zip code alone. And there are 27 zip codes in the city of Detroit. That means there's a lot of work to be done. We spend so much time infighting and backbiting and killing each other in the church when we need to be reaching out to the lost, those who need to be saved. Amen? And so we trust, hope, and pray that this work may not go in vain, that we may take what we have heard all week and go out into the world and proclaimate God's word and plant the seed, as the Bible says, to meditate on God's word day and night in order that we may be a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And that's what we're trying to do this afternoon. Amen. Now, yesterday we talked about the power within you. We talked about Jesus. We talked about God. We talked about the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And there's no reason why you should walk around here with your head down. There's no reason why you should fear, because there is a greater substance. There's a greater source that is in you. And I don't want us to forget the lessons that we are talking about, because Jesus still says, I am the true vine. Amen. And not only we talked about the power within you, we talked about when the books were opened yesterday afternoon. There's going to come a time when we're going to have to leave this world. There comes a time when we're going to have to meet God. There's coming a time where God is going to open up the books of your life. And if your name is not written in the book, are y'all following me, of life, you will not be where he's at. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we are meditating on God's word and doing thus saith the Lord. Repeat after me. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Oh, come on, I know y'all can do better than that. Now, I know a lot of y'all have been watching the NBA games and screaming and hollering and everything else. We're not going to be long tonight, amen? We just want to hear a word from the Lord, because the devil is on our track every single day. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, and the verses that will be under investigation for this afternoon is verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 18. When you are found, say amen. If you're still in Galatians, you haven't gone too far. Amen. And if you went to Colossians, or you went to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you don't go too far. We want to end up right there in Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Very beautiful book. When it comes down to building the souls of mankind, the first three chapters of Ephesians talks about what God has done for us. And the remaining three chapters of Ephesians talks about what we have to do for God. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 through 18, the Bible says, finally, is that in your Bibles? My brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, I want you to underline in your Bibles this word, strong. He says, finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Is that in your Bibles this evening? I want you to put in quotation marks. I've already said to underline in your Bibles this word, strong. And I want you to put in quotation marks in verse number 11, where he says, put on the whole armor of God, that, is it all right? Ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Tonight, we want to talk about the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement. In the year of 2000, William Friedkin produced an intense action and gripping suspense movie entitled Rules of Engagement, which examined the gray area of combat of American military. The plot depicted a United States ambassador being rescued by a Marine colonel named Childress, played by Samuel L. Jackson, while a United States embassy was under siege by anti-American protesters. It was betrayed that Colonel Childers ordered his men to open fire on the protesters, which resulted in 83 civilian deaths. Thus, according to international law, he committed a crime. And in spite of the successful rescue mission of a statesman, in spite of compiling evidence to exonerate him and to appease international outrage, the United States government court-martialed Childress for violating the Marines' rules of engagement, which was an indication that the United States military possesses rules to engage with an enemy or an enemy territory. What are you saying, preacher? Well, God has some rules of engagement, amen. Are y'all with me this evening? Now, if it seems like y'all not talking back to me, amen, I'm gonna have to be up here a little bit longer, amen. Now, just like the military of the United States, there are some rules that a soldier must follow, amen. It doesn't matter if you have good intentions. It doesn't matter how well you are. There are some rules that a soldier must follow. Well, the military of the United States is not the only source that have some rules, amen. The children of God have some rules. If we are going to combat Satan, if we are going to combat the wiles of the devil, there are some rules that must be followed. Before one decides to engage or even come in contact with spiritual warfare, there are some rules that must be followed. Are y'all following me this evening? If you are going to make it, you must follow the rules. Amen. If you are going to overcome the mountains in your life, there are some rules that must be followed. If you are going to climb or go through the valleys of life, there are some rules. Y'all got to get this evening. Amen. I tell people this all the time. They come in my office and say, I'm always under attack. Well, did you follow the rules? Y'all not going to get it until you go home. Amen. You hear people say it all the time. I'm under attack by Satan. The devil's always attacking me. The devil's always on my back. We blame the devil for everything. But one thing that God gave was some rules. That if you want to defeat Satan, you must follow the rules. If I'm going to be successful in all that I do, and if I'm going to be successful in carrying out the mission of God and carefully defeating the wiles of the devil, there are some rules that must be upheld. If I'm going to be successful coming out of my pits and land in the halls of prosperity, there are some rules that must be followed.
If I'm going to escape my Egypt to be led through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, there are some rules that must be followed. If I'm going to be successful sounding my trumpet, breaking down my walls, entering into my destiny, there are some rules that must be followed. If I'm going to be successful in the midst of the lion's den, there are some rules that must be followed. If I'm going to be humble like a sheep and be led by the great shepherd in the valleys of the shadow of death, there are some rules. If you don't hear nothing else I say this afternoon, you're going to hear that there are some rules that must be followed. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter the status of your life. If you are going to defeat Satan, when you engage with spiritual warfare, you must follow the rules. And I guarantee you, God's word will never come back to him void. It is said that the conduct of war is governed by laws and conventions. And a lot of people don't know this. I had the opportunity that when I was in studying, I was in college at Prairie View A&M University. And one of the things that I've learned, I signed up for the Army ROTC. And I completed my ROTC program. 4 years commissioned as a ROTC captain. Amen. And one of the things that I learned that before I enrolled in the Army ROTC, I thought that soldiers can do whatever they want, when they want, how they want, when they go to war. Well, that's not the case. There are some laws, what we call international laws, that must be followed. Are y'all following me? It doesn't matter if you are a soldier or whoever you've been commissioned by, there are some laws that must be followed, called the Geneva, amen, Convention. They set the rules that wherever there is war, there are some rules that must be followed. I thought that when you was at war and you see your enemy, you can just shoot them, walk past them, come back, shoot them again, go back and shoot them again. But that's what you call double track. Once you shoot them, you can't walk past and come back. You got to keep moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, every child of God today must understand that there are some rules that you must follow. That if you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, if you are under attack right now, if you are under attack socially, if you are under attack financially, if you are under attack spiritually, if you are under attack physically, there are some rules that you must follow to overcome that attack. You know, I tell people this all the time, that if you want to break through, you got to go through. But there's a way to go through. It is said that conduct of war is governed by laws. Among these are rules laid down by governments and command authorities governing the circumstances in which their armed services may use force. God has a law. Listen to this. And anyone that engages in spiritual warfare must abide by that law. Are y'all following? I'm trying to help somebody today. We're talking about rules of engagement. I got to paint the picture, amen. I told you this the other day, that before you get into your lesson, you got to paint the picture, amen. You got to lay the foundation. I tell people this, when it comes down to Bible study, you got to ask yourself, who's doing the talking? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? And the circumstance of the conversation. Well, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. And at this particular time, waiting in a Roman jail cell, he is talking to the elders, the leadership of this congregation. And he is not rebuking the congregation, but he is encouraging the church. He tells us what God has done for us, and he tells us what we ought to do for God. And he concludes by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? That the child of God is going to be under attack. Don't think that just because you are a Christian that you're not going to be under attack. Sometimes we think that as a child of God that everything is going to be all right. But the minute you become a child of God, the devil's going to be on your back more than he was before you became a child of God. He says, finally, I'm not rebuking Hart Street, but what I'm trying to do is encourage the church that when the devil gets on your track, this is how you get him off. He sifts us like wheat. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Y'all not gonna get this yet.
You know what a lion is, amen? A lion just don't attack right off. He sits and he waits. And what he does, he watches to see who is vulnerable. What do you mean, preacher, vulnerability? Someone that has stripped themselves of the armor of God. When you take the armor of God off, the devil looks at you as a vulnerable species. Every time you go to Brother Jones and say, I'm under attack, what part of the armor did you take off?
Are y'all getting this?
He says, look, finally, brethren. He says, be strong. And notice this, in who? The Lord. Don't be strong in your magazines.
Y'all don't have to say amen if you don't want to. And if I'm here in the home, just wave your hand.
Don't be strong on TV, but be strong in the Lord. Not just in the Lord, not just waving your hand like you just don't care, but be strong in his power.
We talked about it yesterday.
Understanding that as a child of God, the fact that you are a child of God, you have the power of God.
You don't have to run around here afraid of the devil. You can't beat the devil. This war is not about you.
It's about God and the devil. And God is saying, use the power that I got in you if you're going to make it.
The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21 at everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
If you're going to make it tonight, you got to do the will of God. It's not about what they say on TV. It's not about what your friends say. It's not about killing your brother because they killed you. It's about doing what God told you to do. If you're going to make it, you got to do it the way God told you to do it. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, all scripture.
Did y'all get that?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect.
And that word perfect don't mean that you're going to be flawless. But it simply means that you are content and you are complete in God. God never said it's going to be easy. This is a revival, amen.
God never said it's going to be easy.
I have to share this with folk all the time. Sometimes it bothers me because folk don't understand that the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ is important.
And we fear not spreading the gospel. We fear of not teaching folk the gospel because we got our own hang-ups. We are under attack by Satan. Why? Because we are not using the armor that God has given us. I don't need no 9mm. I don't need no M16. I don't need no hand grenades, because as a child of God, my warfare is not carnal, but it's spiritual. The Bible still says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word has the power to pierce your physical life and to enter into your soul. And that's why David said that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When things seem dark, just open up God's word. I don't need to worry about what folks think, what folks say about me. Or the devil gonna take you through some valleys. He's gonna make your mountains seem so astronomical. But just remember this, that if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, you don't need a lot of faith. All you need is just enough to penetrate the power that's in you. The woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, she didn't fall on Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. Sometimes we think we need a whole lot to make stuff happen. No, you don't need a whole lot. God is a lot. All you need is God. It's not about your money. It's not about your social life. It's about God. Who's going to help you make it? Are y'all following me this evening? I'm going to give you 2 points and the lesson is going to be yours. Is it all right? Now, don't think I'm going to get you out of here too early, amen? I'm going to try to get you out of here before the sun goes down. And I don't know, because the time is a little bit running out. There's several things I'm going to show you. Listen to this. There are several rules that I want you to understand this evening. That when you go home, and the devil gets on your track. Listen to this. If you have not been through any troubles, keep on living. Can I talk to somebody who's hurting right now? Because I think we all have arrived. If you have not been through any troubles, keep on living. Either you are in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into one. Y'all probably saying, preacher, what are you saying? Job says that man is born of a woman, but a few days, he didn't say no weeks, he didn't say no years, he said, but a few days full of trouble. But one thing we got to understand, that trouble don't last always. Paul and Silas was in trouble. But while they were in jail, are y'all getting this? I'm going to get ready to close in a minute. While they were in jail, they were proclaiming the word of God. All they were doing was doing God's will. Don't think just because you are doing God's will that you're not going to be under attack. Matter of fact, the devil has all of those folk on his trophy case. He's trying to get you back. Are y'all following me? All Paul and Silas was doing was God's will. But they put a stop in the economic of that city. And as a result of them doing God's will, the devil had them thrown into prison. You probably say, okay, well, what is prison? The devil did not just throw them into prison, but he cast them into stocks. See, some of us got room to work around within our mental prisons. You'll have to say amen if you can. Some of us have a little room. But Paul and Silas didn't have no room. When they were put in stocks, they were put in the middle of the jail and they were stayed there. What do you do? What do you do when you're put into a prison? And we're not talking about no 4x4, 6x6 with some bars. Some folk are in prison right now mentally. And I'm talking about church folk. I'm not talking to no sinners right now. I'm going to talk to the sinners at the end. Some church folk are still in prison.
And if we have been freed, because Jesus said, if you are free, you are free indeed. Some of us get back in prison because we choose to. Just like the children of Egypt, Israel. God delivered them, but they complained. Are y'all following me? Some of us are in mental prisons, social prisons, financial prisons, spiritual prisons. The devil came to deceive. He's a roaring lion. And what do? He walks. This is what he do. He don't say a word to you. He just walks. This is all he does. He walks. He walks in the midst of us. Don't think that just because you in these walls, the devil ain't in the midst of us. He walks. He looks at elders and preachers. He looks at members. He looks and he watches. And all he needs is for somebody to not have their armor on. But you know, the beauty about a child of God is that even though Satan may walk as a roaring lion, Jesus is in the midst of us too. I don't know about you, but I know he's in the midst of us. Are y'all following me? He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let's look at our text real fast. The first thing we got to have is faith. Look what he says. We got to have faith. We got to have faith. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't get it today, you keep on the track of righteousness. If you don't get it next week, you stay righteous. Never as a child of God give up. Can you imagine if the soldiers of the United States gave up when they went to war on our behalf? And I know a lot of folk is not proponents of the war, but I thank God that there's somebody that's fighting for me. Because without our soldiers, where would this country be? You're probably saying, what are you saying, preacher? You got the devil in a whole lot of political areas. Dictators all over this world. Without our soldiers, where will we be? Some countries, you can't say what you want to say. You can't eat what you want to eat. You can't go where you want to go. I thank God that there are some soldiers of the cross. Because if there was no soldiers of the cross, where would the kingdom of God be? I thank God that there are some soldiers in the church of Christ that are standing up for the gospel of Christ. If it wasn't, where would we be? Churches are splitting all over this country. I don't like the elders, so I'm going to go start my own stuff. I don't like what the preacher says, so I'm going to go start my own stuff. We fighting all over clapping. We fighting over who said, what said, who said, instead of going out and telling folk about Jesus. Our commission is to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. Why, God? Because there's going to come a time when folk not going to endure sound doctrine. In Detroit, I don't know how it is in Nashville, but in Detroit, we got folk all over the city that's preaching false doctrine. Splitting churches. But the Bible still says, by fair words and good speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Mark them. That's what the devil is trying to do.
He's trying to mess you up. And if he can mess you up and throw you off your purpose in life, then you will never fulfill your purpose in life. Jeremiah said, it's not in man to direct his steps. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. We got to have some faith tonight that if you're going to attack the devil, if you're going to stand against the devil, you must have faith. What kind of faith, preacher? And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 6, the Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Get out of those Ebony magazines. Ladies, you don't have to say amen if you don't want to. See, I believe Heart Street got it together. Thank God for the elders and preachers, amen. See, up there where we at, folk, I preach almost to a single congregation. We spend too much time in worldly advice. That advice comes from Satan, who has come to deceive the nations. Satan is not your friend. He is your enemy. And not only he is your enemy, but he is an enemy of God. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. The devil attacks you day and night. Why shouldn't you meditate on God's word day and night? The devil is not going to let up on you. Amen. So what kind of faith should you have? You got to have that faith that stands in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. And when you come in demonstration of the Spirit of God. I tell people this all the time, that when you are filled with the Spirit, you don't have time for nothing else. Are y'all following me? What kind of faith should we have? We should have enduring faith. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The devil's going to throw some of us into prison. And when you look at this apocalyptic letter, one of the most, and I was teaching Revelations several months ago about the seven churches in Asia Minor. What kind of church should we be? That's where I came from. And when you look at Revelation, it is an apocalyptic letter designed just for God's people. Apocalyptic just simply means you got to uncover. Because what you read may not be exactly what is intended. But there's something must be uncovered. Are you a father? Well, I don't have time to get into Revelations right now. We're going to leave that up to Brother Jones. But when you look at Revelation, he says that the devil is going to try you. He's going to put you into prison. He's not talking about a physical prison. That is not exclusive, but yet it's inclusive. The prisons that the devil is going to try to throw you in is depression, disparity, cast you down, mental prisons, defeat prisons. We have people all the time, I'm defeated, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Are y'all with me this evening? He's talking about that the devil is going to throw you into a mental prison.
Because when your mind is messed up, you messed up. But it's only going to be for a short while if you stay faithful unto death. When your money is going good, don't leave God. When you've reached the highest level of academics, don't leave God. When God has blessed you with prosperity, your wife is doing good, your husband is doing good, your children's, don't leave God. I tried that. I was born and raised Church of Christ. Y'all, some of y'all can relate to that. Doing good all the way until I got away from mama and daddy. Always sitting on the front row for 17, 18 years. And the minute they sent me to Texas, I was on my own. But God was still with me. He blessed me from a resident advisor all the way to a general manager at the age of 27. Blessed me financially. Blessed me physically. Blessed me with good health. But I forgot God. I was a campus minister and still forgot God. And what did God do as a physical father? He put me on my back. Sometimes God gotta lay you down so you can look up. So you don't forget where you came from. Because there is a greater power in you than yourself. And when God's purpose needs to be fulfilled, I guarantee you it's gonna be fulfilled. That's why Paul asked God, "Can you remove this thorn?" And God said, "My grace is sufficient." God's grace right now is sufficient. And just because God's grace is sufficient in Romans chapter 6, it does not give you a license to continue to do wrong. Are y'all following me? So we need that faith. But number two, look what he says in our text. Chapter 6 and verse number 10, he says, being in Ephesus, I got a ready close. He says, being in Ephesus, are y'all there? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you go home tonight, you must have faith. Faith that stands in the power of God. Not in your own intelligence, but in God. Number two. You must be strong in the Lord. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13, he says, watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. God needs some folk that's going to stand up for him. God needs some folk that's going to be strong when the devil comes attacking you. God knows you more than you know yourself. As he did with Job. When all of the angels came to give a report, Satan came too. And God asked Satan, whence comest thou? Satan walking up and down earth, seeking whom he may devour. That's his job, is to mess you up. If you're on your road to education, the devil wants you to feel depressed and wants you to drop out. The devil don't want you to get a good man. The devil don't want you to get a good lady. The devil don't want you to be here right now. Because if you are here, it's because God wants you to be here. But if you are here, it's because Satan are trying to attack you. Satan wants to kill you and to destroy you. You got to be strong when he comes. The Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't fight him. Just resist him. When he comes, just say, get hence, Satan. And I used to tell people this all the time. Because I want you to go back to the text real quick. Go back to the text. Go back to the text real quick. Look what he says real quick. And verse number 13. Verse number 12. For look, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ladies and gentlemen, we wrestle not against with each other. We don't fight against each other. We're fighting against each other because Satan is in some of us. He's influencing, shall I say, some of us. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1, he says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God or the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, number one, when you leave here, you got to have faith. The rules of engagement is you got to have faith, number one. Number two, you must be strong. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us power and a sound mind. All you got to do is use it. He says, be strong in the power of his might. We don't wrestle against one another. That word flesh and blood is, when I come up in here, I'm not fighting against my brothers and sisters, but I'm fighting against Satan, who's influencing my brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to stop hanging out with Satan. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to. Sometimes folk don't want to give up some good friends, amen? Satan ain't your friend. And I know that's not the right word to say, ain't. But he is not your friend. He's your enemy. And he seeks to destroy you. If you're going to engage in life, you gotta have faith. You gotta be strong. But ultimately, you must put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says that if you want to stand, you must put on the whole armor of God. He says, stand therefore, have your loins girded about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, have your shoes ready to spread the gospel. He says, having the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. I know some of us don't understand exactly what those elements simply mean. What the Bible tells us when he says put on the whole armor of God. He says have your loins, listen to this, girded about with truth. What God is using is a physical situation to represent a spiritual action. That simply means, ladies and gentlemen, you must be standing in truth. Am I right about it? Your life must be in the middle of truth. Just like I have this belt on, amen, and this 200 and some odd pound body is in the midst of this belt. This belt upholds my pants, amen. My whole body is in the middle of this belt, amen. That means there's a belt on my left side. There's a part of the belt on my right side. There's a part of the belt on my front side. There's a part of the belt on my back side. What are you saying, God? Stand in truth. Truth got to be in the front. Truth got to be in the back. Truth got to be on your left. Truth got to be on your right. Stop running around here lying and fooling yourself. You must stand in truth. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. Where there is no script, there is no lip. I don't want to hear what you got to say when you don't have no word of God. There's no relative, there's no subjective. It is absolute truth. All scripture, whatever you need is in the book. You have marital issues, it's in the book. You have morality issues, it's in the book. You have financial issues, it's in the book. Whatever you need, God has given us all things that pertain unto life
and godliness. God not gonna give you nothing else. He gave you all that you need. All you must do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean, preacher? Seek his authority over your life. Don't just get in God, but seek to be right like God. But not only, he says, look, preacher, not only you need to stand in truth, but you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, just like a soldier, you got to protect your chest. What do you mean, preacher? The devil is going to mess with your emotions. How many of us today, don't raise your hand, amen, because I don't want you talking to Brother Manzo after this meeting, amen, because some of us may need some counseling. How many of us feel depressed right now? Feel defeated? Feel so low in the valley? You don't have to raise your hand. Already know some of us are. That's the devil. And that's why he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because God wants your emotions to be protected. While you are standing in truth, you must protect your emotions, because the devil wants you to be depressed. He wants you to feel defeated. But when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you stay in love with God no matter how low your valley is. And this battle is not yours, but it's God's. Not only you must put on the breastplate of righteousness, but you got to be ready always to give an answer to them that question your hope. Have your feet ready. In other words, your mindset must be ready to tell folk the truth and who you belong to. We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. Christians, you are not to act like nobody else but God. The fact that you are the salt, you're the one that bring flavor to this world. You are the one that preserve the world. And wherever you go, you bring light to your environment. If you come in your environment and there is no light, something is wrong. You got to be ready to spread the gospel. But he says, above all, holding up the shield of faith. The shield of faith protects you when the devil shoots his missiles. Every day the devil is shooting missiles at you. Every morning you wake up, the devil is shooting missiles. If you forgot to say, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up, that's a missile that the devil done got you with. Are y'all following me? That shield of faith, hold it up when the enemy shoots his missile. But not only hold up the shield of faith, but you got to protect your intelligence and your knowledge of God. The devil is going to try to mess with your understanding of who God is and your relationship with God. And so that's why you must put on the helmet of salvation. Be sure of your election. Are you sure you are a Christian? Are you sure you are saved? If the devil can get in your head, he will cause you to be unsure. And that's why you got a church that is not a member of the church on every corner. It may not be here in Nashville, but it is in Detroit. I tell people this all the time. You know, when you go to Detroit, there is a liquor store. There is a funeral home, a cleaners, and a church on almost every corner in the city of Detroit. All named something else. That's the devil wanted to bring confusion. See, first of all, he wants you to go get drunk. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to. And then you got a cleaner to go get your clothes. But once you get drunk, you're going to die from getting drunk, because you're going to kill your liver.
Some of y'all probably said, please don't talk about drinking right now. I'm going to talk about it because it's a deception of Satan. Once you get drunk, mess up your body, you die, there's a funeral home, go get your clothes out of the cleaners, there's a church to bury you. That's how it is in Detroit. You don't have to say, man. I got Michigan folk over here right now understand what's going on in Michigan. A church on every corner. That's deception of Satan. He wants to confuse you. He wants to confuse you and to mess your mind up. If he can mess your heart up, if he can mess your mind up, then he mess you up. And that's why the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of not your money, but your mind. But not only, we got to get ready to close. The lights done, the sun done went down. Not only you have to have on the helmet of salvation, but you got to use the sword of the Spirit. You have to use the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? What is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. When the devil gets on your back, use the sword of the Spirit. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 through 5, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. This is our weapon right here. It's God's word. You don't need no M16. All you need is God's word. You don't need no 9mm. All you need is God's word. The devil's here to mess you up right now. But God is here to clean you up. And when it comes down for rules of engagement, when it comes down to engaging Satan, you must have faith in everything that stands in the power of God. You must be strong in every aspect of your life. You must put on the whole armor of God. Have your loins girded about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your life ready to stand up for God. Hold up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation and use God's word. That's why David said, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's nothing else that I need but Jesus Christ and his word. When I deal with Satan, I can't beat Satan all by myself. He attacks me every day. He attacks me at night. He attacks me in the morning. He attacks me throughout the day. He attacks me in the church. He attacks me on the job. He attacks me on my friends. But one thing I got is Jesus Christ. As long as I got the Master's hand, everything is going to be all right. And that's why I can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Even when the enemy came to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and they failed. Though an host should encamp against me, the war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why I can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thou rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. God's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What are you saying, preacher? Whatever I touch is going to prosper. Wherever I go is going to prosper. Whoever I come in contact with, it's going to prosper. The rules of engagement.
is you gotta have faith. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. We got to stand on God's word. You can't make it without God. Stop trying to make it without God. The minute you think you make it without God, you fail. That's exactly what Satan wants you to understand. You must have God in everything you do. Even before you was conceived, God had a purpose for you. When you came out, God had a purpose for you. Don't say what you can't do. When God is for you, who can be against you? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I, as a child of God, am persuaded there's neither life nor death shall separate me from the love of God that is in me. But what must I do? I got to get with God. You can't do it by yourself, young folk. You can't do it by yourself, old folk. See, we got folk at Linwood, amen, pray, but Brother Carney can relate to that. You got folk out who done got set in their ways. We don't got that here at Hart Street, amen? You get set in your ways. The minute you get set in your ways, you stop leaning on God. I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how young you are, you need Jesus. We're going to talk about this come Wednesday, that even Josiah had God. We need Jesus if you're going to make it. Humble yourself before God. And he, not you, shall exalt you in due season. Somebody is here this morning, this evening, that need Jesus. Somebody is under attack right now. Relationship messed up. Finances messed up. See, let me tell you something. Don't let the glasses and the suit fool you. I was saying, what is he about to say, preacher? I've been through it all. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't act like these leaders became leaders just overnight. If you get with your leaders, they'll tell you what they've been through. That's why they're leaders. We've all been through something. But how did we make it through? God. His anointing over our life. Without God, you can't do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. But you got to get with him. How do you get with him? You got to obey him. You got to obey him. It's better to obey God rather than man. How do I obey him? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. God loved you so much in spite of you, in spite of what you are going through, in spite of what you are dealing with, God loved you. The fact that you are here right now is because of God's love for you. And he loved you so much, he didn't even judge you. He sent his only begotten son to die for your sins. Jesus came to die for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul, to a reminder of the church at Corinth, said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in the vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that of which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. How that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Jesus came to die for your sins. He was buried to take your sins so far away from you. While down there, dear Lord, he stepped over the hell and took his power. Stepped over the grave, took his power. Stepped over the death and took his power. He stepped back on resurrection ground and said, O power, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Declared to all of the world and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has power over your fault finders. He has power over your finances, power over your spirituality. Whatever you are standing in need of, Jesus has the power. He has all power. If you want some of that power, you got to come unto him. You got to believe the fact that you are a sinner. You messed up. You can't do it by yourself. I had to realize that. The faster you learn your lesson, the faster you'll get your blessing. Stop thinking you can do it all by yourself. Understand the fact that I'm a sinner. Jesus came to die for my sins. And must understand this, that I must hear the word of God. I must hear the gospel in the word of God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't get my faith nowhere else but God's word. Then once you get that, once you hear God's word, once you obtain that faith, now you have to maintain that faith. You must turn it into a working faith. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 6, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And after you believe, then you must repent of your sins. What is repentance? Repentance is not coming up here and saying, well, I repent. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of mind, coming to the conclusion that you can't do it by yourself. And I need Jesus right now. I'm going to go home and I'm going to have to deal with a contrite spouse. I need Jesus right now. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and I got to deal with a contrite boss. I need Jesus right now. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Except you repent, ye all shall likewise perish. Also found in Luke chapter 13, verse number 5. Then you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. He that confesseth me before men, him I confess before my Father which is in heaven. We talked about it yesterday when the books are open. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. The best thing you can do tonight is confessing while the blood is still flowing through your veins. Because if you don't confess him now, when you meet him in the other life, the Bible says he will deny you as you denied him with man. Are y'all following me? But let me share this with you. Hear the gospel, believe the same, repent of your sins, confessing Christ is prerequisites of salvation. It brings you unto Christ, but it doesn't put you into Christ. Well, I wish I had time to talk about this. And the reason why I stress this on all of my invitations is because you hear it on TV every day. You listen to the radio and you hear preachers preach beautiful sermons, prosperity sermons, uplifting sermons. But when they get to the end, they tell you to come. They tell you to believe. Believe what? Come unto who? Are y'all following me? Baptism, in spite of what anybody say, is essential to salvation. And let me share this with you. When you are baptized, you are added to the body of Christ. You put on Christ's name. You wear Christ's name. I tell people this back at Linwood. When I get married, I don't believe in hyphenated names. Girl, what kind of PhD you got? You know, folks trying to get me married off right now. I'm letting you know now, when you become Mrs. Stewart, you're going to drop your last name, whoever your daddy was. Okay, if he was the President Obama, you're dropping it. Because we are going to become one. As Adam and Eve was one. I got to do it like God did it. Are y'all following me? And so therefore, Christians are called Christians because they are associated with Christ. And I tell this to people all the time. Stop telling people you're going to church. You go to worship. You are the church. The problem with a lot of us is when we go on a job, we cease to be the church. We act like the world. You are the church when you are here. You are the church when you're on the job. You are the church even when you go somewhere you need to or not be going. We'll talk about that later today, amen? Baptism is essential to salvation.
Baptism puts you into Christ. Hearing the gospel, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, it brings you unto Christ. But baptism puts you into Christ. I'm not trying to just go to the well. I'm trying to drink too. And so if you want to be saved tonight, if you want to rededicate your life, you want to recommit your life, baptism is the way. Jesus, when he stepped on resurrection ground, declared all power, defied death, defied hell, declared all power. He said, go into the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them, baptismal, meaning to immerse, not sprinkle, not pour, but to immerse, meaning you got to go down. See, Christians are the pillar of the ground of truth. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. And let me share this with you, because it's happening up in Detroit as well. When you are baptized, in baptism, are y'all following me? It is immersion. God, you contact the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There's three that bear witness on earth, the Holy Ghost, the blood, and the water. If you want Jesus, you got to contact the physical water. And by Christians, we walk by faith. When you contact the physical water, by faith you contact the spiritual blood, because they are one. And the fact that the Holy Spirit is one with the blood and the water, when you go down in the physical water, you contact the spiritual blood, you contact the Holy Spirit, and the fact that the Holy Spirit is God with the Father and the Son, now you got Jesus. You want to know how it works? You got to do something physically first. And when you do it physical, you contact the spiritual blood, get the Holy Ghost, now you have God. Without God, without the Holy Ghost, you don't have God. I tell people that all the time. If you are not baptized for the remission of your sins, you don't have Christ. Because Jesus said, except ye be born again of the Spirit and water, you should not see nor enter into the kingdom of God. We also learn it in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The facts of the gospel, dear Lord, is of church. It's a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The obedience of the gospel is hearing the gospel, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. It's not an outward show and an inward grace. It's for the remission of your sins. And the promises of obeying those facts is that God washes away all your sins. No matter what you did, God washes them away. Amen. He forgives you. He gives you his Spirit, Acts 2:38. He adds you to the church. And I'm so glad that God added me to the church. Because if I was voted in the church and I don't give right, I will vote you out. Y'all not going to get it till you go home. There's churches that vote you into the church. I thank God that God adds me to the church. And not only God adds you to the church, he protects you. And if you live faithful and obedient unto death, eternal life will be yours. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. For you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I wasn't, I would have told you. He would have told you. But he go to prepare a place for you. He will go and come again. And receive you unto himself. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you are baptized, you're added to the church of Christ. And only Christians make Christians. Now, I don't have to say it if you want to, because we got this problem up north right now. You know, you hear people saying, well, there are Christians in all churches. Only way you can become a Christian is you got to find Christ. I don't know how many of us work for the automotive industry. If you want a General Motors paycheck, you got to go apply and work for General Motors. You can't go to Ford and Chrysler and ask for a General Motors paycheck.
if there are Christians in all churches, it's because they've been baptized for the remission of their sins, and the church of Christ left the body of Christ and went over somewhere else. And that's what you call an oblique Christian in the house of God. They've been voided out. That's a whole different lesson. I came to revive you right now. It's the right lesson to say it in the Bible Belt, amen. But we're having it in up north right now. Right now. So we got to be careful that when you talk about the Church of Christ, you must talk about baptism. And when you talk about baptism, you must talk about Christianity. Without baptism, there's no church. Where there's no church, there's not God. So you're here tonight. I think you had enough. The rules of engagement. Where's your faith? We walk by faith and not by sight. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Why don't you come as we together stand and sing the Savior's invitation? Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus right now. Oh, do not let the word depart. Come to Jesus right now. 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 Come to Jesus. Be saved right now. Be saved right now. Be saved right now. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? While the blood is still flowing in your veins, you need to come to Jesus right now. The day you hear his voice, harden out your heart. Whatever you do, never leave the presence of God's people knowing that you stand at a guilty distance from God. Come to Jesus right now. You may be seated. Just because we're sitting down, you can still come to Jesus. Just because we're sitting down, you can still come to Jesus. Just because we're sitting down, you can still come to Jesus. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight?